We read Luke 22:35 through 40. I want to call your attention back to verse 36. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip or wallet. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. We're going to use for a topic today. We have bigger fish to fry. We have bigger fish to fry. I had a nosebleed this morning. Now, you may think that that's nothing, but the interesting thing is I've never had one before. I've had a cold, and at the end of the cold, you have a little blood in your mucus, but I had a nosebleed to the degree that it poured out onto my garment. And I got scared because I've never had that much blood come out of my nose. And all I had for a reference is Korean dramas. Because a lot of them are comedies. And it is inevitable that one of the families, a fight's going to break out. A knock them down, drag out, fight. And then the very next scene, you see all these people sitting around with a piece of tissue rolled up and stuck up one nostril. And that's why it's funny. But that's all I had, so I took some tissue, rolled it up, stuck it up in my nose, and kept moving because it was in my spirit that we have bigger fish to fry. On any other day, I may have called somebody and say, tell Bishop I'm not going to make it. Something strange just happened. But when you have an intense situation before you, what used to vex me, what used to scare me, what used to knock me off my game, can't happen anymore because we have bigger. I love idioms. I love them because many times they say what needs to be said. When we say we have bigger fish to fry, that's code for there's something more important to do than what we're used to, what's normal. Something else that happened recently is I was thinking about, and I do this probably every couple of years, I was thinking about going back to school. And a couple years ago, I thought about it, and I was like, nah. Then it came up again recently because it was such a good deal. They had a special for Springfield teachers where they, you know, give you a big good deal on the price of it, and the schedule fits your schools. It was just perfect. It was laid out nice. I had told my son, who's my prayer partner, I told him, I said, I'll get ready to pray over something. I don't know yet, but just get ready. Pray for me. I'm trying to make a decision about something. And I never got back to him. Reason is, God said clearly, you're never going back to school. Because we have bigger. One other thing that happened. I don't ever talk about the process that I go through when God gives me a song. And I always say it that way. You hear people say I'm a songwriter, I write songs. You'll never hear me say that, and I'll tell you why. I'm revealing this for the first time. There's this process that I always go through. I go through what looks like a dark tunnel. And it's always something pressing and heavy. But when I come out with songs. So I just started teaching a couple of new songs to the choir. And so I can say definitively, I don't write them. Every time I'm in a really dark, hard place, I'll come out and I'll be minding my own business. This last time it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. I woke up, the tune was there, the lyrics were there. I didn't do anything. But something strange happened this last time. Sometimes the tunnel is long. And I stay in that place for a long time before I come out with a song. But this time, it was quick. And so when I came out and the songs happened fast, sometimes I'll write a song over a week or so. I wrote that song before I went to work. I woke up at 4. By the time I was going to work, I had the verses, the chorus, the vamp. And God said, why? Because things are getting intense and we have bigger. I don't have time for you to be in this place. Taking your attention. He said, I can give you a song. That's nothing. Go ahead and write it down. I got a note on my phone because I have a bad habit of not writing things down, so I'll just put the voice recorder on and sing it so I can remember it later. Because we have bigger fish to fry. Yeah, that's right. So some other stuff happened this week, and so this has been in my spirit, so every time something happened, I stepped over it much easier than usual. Somebody acting out of sorts and doing crazy stuff. I'll say, okay, wait a minute. This person knows the word. I've already spoken to this person. I've already given all I can to this person. So guess what? I got bigger fish to fry. So in this scripture, you have intense situations on both sides of what we're going to talk about. Before this, Jesus is sitting for the last time, teaching his disciples, telling them what's going to happen. He calls out the deceiver. He says, one of you is going to deceive me. And then he tells them what's coming. And then he says, but I'm going to give you something to remember me by, and they have what we call the Last Supper. So that's on one side of this scripture today. On the other side is Calvary. So in these few short verses, Jesus switches gears, and he says, now we were doing things one way, but I'm telling you now, and if you don't catch anything else today, God said for me to tell you this. He's talking to us. He said, we got bigger. Intense. It's about to get intense. And so what Jesus does is he says to them, just after he told Peter what would happen to him, and I hope you know that story. He told Peter, he said, look, you're going to deny me 3 times before the sun comes up. Before you hear the cock crow, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter goes into this long thing. No, I'm not. I'm going to be with you. I'm always going to be with you. Blah, 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 blah. And Jesus said in verse 34, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he moves on from that. And he says unto all of them, when I sent you without money or a wallet, I didn't even have you take shoes with you. And if you go over real quick to Luke 9:2, go there. Luke 9:2. It says this, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick And he said unto them in verse 3, take nothing for your journey. Don't take a staff to beat off the wolves. Don't take a wallet with your money in it. Don't take anything to eat. Don't take any loose change. Don't even have an extra change of clothes. Didn't he? He said, in whoever's house you get to, that's where you sleep. We're not making any hotel reservations. Bada book, bada boom. We're not doing any of that. He said, all I want you to do is focus on being trained to share the gospel and to heal. That's what I want you to do. There was a time, church, when things were simple. When you were in training. From your early salvation up until perhaps now, he says, I've been preparing you. I made it simple for you. You didn't have to worry about anything. I showed you who you would minister with. I showed you where to go and where to minister. I put you in a family so you could talk to them. I put you on a job so you could talk to them. He says, I made it simple for you. I made all the preparations for you because you were in training. He said, but now. But now. He said, those were the simple times. That is when he was talking to you about sin 101. Don't sleep with people you're not married to. 101. Don't take foreign substances into your body. 101. Don't gossip. 101. And for those of you who haven't been to college, 101 means those entry-level courses. Half the time, you don't even get credit for them. You're just paying for them. They're remedial-type courses, 100 classes. So he's saying, I gave you entry-level instructions when you first came into your salvation. How not to be, have attitude with people. He said, I put you on the usher board so you could be at the door. So when that real evil visitor comes in or when that real mean saint comes in, I could train you how to be with people. He said, I did that early in your walk. Simple stuff. He said, I put you in the choir just to teach you some discipline. They tell you to go to job and wear a uniform and half the time you don't show up with the uniform. Okay, I'll put you up here and put you in a uniform. Easy. He said, because we didn't have the pressure, the intensity that's coming. He said, this was early in my ministry with you. Try to stay with me, please. He said back over in verse 35 in Luke 22, though, he said, I told you not to take anything, and did you lack anything? Think back. Have you ever lacked anything since you've been saved? Anything. And some of you may sit here and say, well, yeah, you know, I remember that one time. What did the brother say? I'm still here. Still standing. I brought some tissue up here in case my nose starts bleeding, because I don't know how nosebleeds work. I don't know if another one follows the one you just had. I don't know. But guess what? I prepared. Because he said, but now bring everything you got. Look what he said. He said, this thing is about to get intense. So in verse 36, he says, but now, if you got some money, bring it. And if you have a wallet or a purse, bring that too. He said, and if you don't have a sword to fight with, my suggestion is that you get one. Bring all of your resources. Now let's talk resources for a minute. Because sadly, some of us are still trying to use those weapons and those tools and from those early lessons. He said, you still trying not to tell somebody off. I saved you 15 years ago. And you still got to bite your tongue at the red light. He said, wait a minute. He says, this is about to get intense. We got bigger fish to fry. I don't have time for you to still be working over here. He said, now, when before I gave you the resources, he says, now that I gave them to you, bring them. Before, you didn't have to worry about anything. But now you need to be concerned. Bring all your practical resources and your spiritual resources. Bring them all together, and in a few minutes, you'll see why you're going to need them. So if you thought your walk was tough before, and if you thought you were being challenged before, in your health, in your wealth, in your relationships, if you thought that was a challenge before, guess what's coming? It's about to turn up. We talk all the time over this pulpit about how the world is changing, but guess what? We're in the world. And so all of these things are happening now. And we better understand what's coming and what we're going to need in that time. Let's talk about resources. What kind of resources? He's talked about practical resources first. What do you have available? What do you bring to the table? Let me see the hands of the retired people in here. Look around here. Your greatest resource is time. So he's saying, bring that time into the battle. What are you going to do with it? We need a plan now for how to use that time for the furtherance of the kingdom, because it's getting intense. Where can you undergird people with just time alone? That's a great resource. Now, I'm not going to ask people what they make, but there are people sitting in here who have financial resources that other people don't have. What are you going to do with it? I understand giving, but are you strategic about giving? What's your strategy and plan for taking? Don't be like the man who's got all those barns and he fills up his barns and what you going to do with it? And somebody said, son, your soul is going to be required of you tonight. So my suggestion is that you throw open the doors and give. That doesn't mean don't take care of your family. But once you've taken care and you have prayed and asked God, what are you doing with your resources, financial resources? There are relationship resources. A long time ago, and I never said anything to either of these ladies, but a long time ago, it was after service, and I happened to look over, and my sister friend here and Sister Marshall were talking. And in that moment, God showed me something. Sister Marshall, I don't know how well you know her, but she's got a peaceful spirit. She has got a calm spirit. I'm sure she has her moments like everyone else, but God has given her the but God has given her the gift of peace, I promise. And so she's a blessing. So what I did in that moment, and she didn't know it, and she didn't know, I wanted to shout and thank God that she's her friend. She's a resource. The reason that friendship is a resource is because I'm a lot of work. So when I have taken all her anointing and all her patience and all that, I was thankful that she has a friend that doesn't require much maintenance. All she does is love on her. And all she does is bless her. All I do is drain her. Friendship is a resource. Relationship. So how many of you have a godly friend as a resource? Somebody that you can go to and they'll pray with you. You can tell them what's really going on in your life and they'll be a blessing to you. You can go to them and they'll tell you, you know, you're wrong about that. Too many of us, we don't have those kinds of resources. We want that kind of friend that when I get into some dirt, they will say, well, yeah, girl, you know, I'd have done that too. No, that's not a friend. That's what they call a frenemy. I need somebody to check me every now and then. Relationships are resources. Husbands, wives, daughters, sons, aunts, uncles, resources. He said, bring all your resources, everything you've got, spiritual resources. So some of us were supposed to be studying the Bible for the last 20 years, and we have not yet gotten to a real good personal Bible study. Prayer life, resource. That's a great resource. Some people have the gift of praying. We need that because we have bigger. Big stuff's coming. You got to bring practical, spiritual resources into the game. Some of the stuff that God supplied before, he's not supplying anymore. Didn't he say it? He said, go get that stuff I told you at that time in your life you didn't need. He said, now you do. Because we got bigger fish to fry. So he said, get all your resources. Bring them into the game. Why? Look at verse 37. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished or fulfilled where? In me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors for the things that line, and he was reckoned among the transgressors. Go look in when you have time, Isaiah 53. He said, for the things concerning me now have an end. He said, I've been telling you about it, but now it's time. The things concerning me have an end. Now we're at the end of this game. And he's saying to them, it's about to get really intense for you and for me. But look at him. He says, I'm going to take the brunt of the intensity. Do you see it? He said, I'm reckoned among the transgressors. All I need you to do, watch this, is take care of one another. Here it is. Here it is. Early on, our focus as young Christians is making disciples. We want to tell everybody about Jesus. Remember how excited we were? He said, now, add to that now. I got to hold you up. I got to hold you up. We have not done the best job yet of holding one another up in the battle. We haven't. He says, that's why you got to bring all your resources. Because not only do you need to go after the unsaved, he said, but I need you to go after each other. And hold, when I see you in the battle, I need to be able to pray for you. I need to be able to help you. I need to be able to give you some resources if you need them and if I have them. He said, because we have bigger fish to fry. There's a lot more going on in the kingdom. There's a lot more going on in the world right now. So we have to be prepared for it. He says, I'm the one that's going to take the brunt of this. He said, I'm just giving you a little piece. He says, I'll do the 90 this time. How about you just do 10? And I just made those numbers up. But that's what he's really saying. He says, I'm numbered among the transgressors. And it has an end. No matter what you're going through, it has an end. Whenever I enter the black hole, I'm eventually coming out with a song. It has an end. Whenever you go into the hospital to get a new knee, You go through that surgery, then there's a healing process that has an end. No matter what you go through, it has an end. It doesn't matter how hard it is and how dark it is, how intense it is. It has a time limit. You're in school, you can finish because there is a graduation. Hallelujah. You're on the job, seem like you've been there for 50 years when you've really only been there for 18. Guess what? You only got about 2 to go. It has an end. You will finish. Those kids that are driving you crazy at 15 and 16, guess what? Eventually, they turn 18. Darkness intensity has an end. Somebody didn't receive that. I already know. But he's going to preach it anyway. Because I receive it. Everything that's challenging me now has a due date. Hallelujah. And God is not like some of these old ghetto stores that leave expired things on the shelf. He said, when it expires, it's done. So think about anything that's intense for you right now. What's intense? What are you going through that seem real hard and intense and takes all your time and energy? It has an end. That's what Jesus said. Yeah, put a praise on it right there. Put a praise on it. It has an end. Yeah, God, I'm going to shout my own self. It has an end. I got about 3 things. Hallelujah. It has an end. Thank you. Hey, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, God. It has an end. Hallelujah. And God's timing is perfect. Thank you, Jesus. When he says it's over, it's over. Hallelujah. Hey, finished. I like it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So anyway, he's telling them, he said, look, I'm going to take the brunt of this intensity, just so you know. But you need to bring all your resources so that you can help each other through it. Because when Jesus is taking care of the hard part, even though it seemed like we got the small part, it's still too much for us. We're flesh and blood. We return to dust. We can't handle a bit of what God is handling. So, thank God for the ending. Just before we snap, I tell you. Now look at verse 38, because here we come. He's telling them about Calvary. He's telling them about prophecy. He's telling them, get yourself together because we have bigger fish to fry than anything you've seen yet. He said, I know you've seen me heal people. You thought that was great and grand. I know you've seen me get some lame folks up and they walk again. You thought that was the end all be all, he said, but you ain't seen nothing yet. It's about to get real intense. And they come back with, look, it's 2 swords. 2. Look at us. Look at us. He's talking kingdom. You talking steak knives. Really? And I love Jesus because he said, you know what? I can't with y'all. You want to count? Butter knives, okay. He says, I'm talking up here. And you talking about how many swords you have collected. Wow. So he started with 12 disciples. Judas may as well count him out. Peter's on his way to acting up. So even if you bring it down to 10, so you have two swords between the 10 of you. But Jesus says, you know what? It is enough. You know why he said that? Because he said, that's not what I was talking about. I wasn't talking literal swords. He says, I'm talking resources. Make sure you have enough resources. Look out in this congregation, the Solid Rock Community Baptist Church, and see what everybody brings to the table. And make sure you use the resources that are sitting here. Don't burn out five people when you got 20. When you got 20 that can do it too. Look at your resources. He says, I wasn't expecting you all to come in here suited up with weapons. He said, but what I wanted you to understand is that you're going to need more. He said, when I told you to sell your coat, make sure you have, just understand this is a fight. I just needed you to understand how intense this fight is going to be. He says, I was talking kind of metaphorically or figuratively or something. I'm telling you, the disciples were something else. And so are we. He said, we got two. He said, it's enough. Whatever. You could literally take out it is enough and put whatever. Now, I told you the scripture was going to tell us, why do we need all these resources now? What's changed? Go back up to 32. He's talking to Peter. He's saying, the devil is going to mess with you. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, go out and start preaching. And when you are converted, go build yourself a nice house and chill, because, brother, you earned it. You earned this break. Oh, let's see. He said, when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. The reason you need more resources now than ever before is because he's saying we're adding to your responsibility. I'm adding to it. He had never told Peter to do anything for those guys, ever. He said, but when I get through talking to you this time, when I get through changing you this time, what I need you to do is strengthen your brothers. I need you to look around you, who's close to you, and start strengthening and building people up. When you're tired, build somebody else up. You'd be surprised how much strength you get when you give it out to somebody else. It's true. And let me prove it to you once again. Go to 26 and 27. He's talking to them before he told them that they would need these things, these resources. In verse 26, he says, but ye shall not be like the Gentiles, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth lord over you. Serve. Keep going. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. It's going to take all your resources to serve one another. All your patience, all your love, all of your resources, spiritual and natural resources. It's going to take all of them. He said, gather all of that up because we have bigger fish to fry. We got stuff to do that's more important. Half of the stuff we're spending time on, we don't need to. Verse 39. And he came out of there after he said, you know what, whatever. Y'all, if you got it, you got it. If you didn't, you didn't. He didn't tell them, well, no, there's 10 of you. You're probably going to need 10. Oh, man, never mind. It's enough. It's enough. And he came out and went as he was accustomed to doing. That's what want means. To the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. Here's just one little nugget stuck right in there. Just keep doing the Lord's work. Amen. Keep coming to church. I hear people all the time who say, well, I don't need to go to church. I pray at home or I watch it. That's okay. We've heard that story over and over and over again. However, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Didn't he say it? And the reason he said that is because how can I learn how to encourage you and hold you up and strengthen you and I don't know you? I know nothing about the people in the house of God. So the people who are sitting at home having church and you come out and there's some kind of ministry going on, who are you going to join with? That's assuming you're ready to join. That you've really been built up in Christ at home alone. But now you got to go out and use all of your discernment to determine if I'm worthy to join up. Really? Waste of time and resources. Much easier to come to church every day that we have something. Come on out. Get to know me. You'll find that I'm high maintenance, and Sister Marshall pretty much isn't. So you'll find those kinds of things out if you come here. So when you leave here today, take one of your resources, call AT&T or Verizon, and call somebody who's not here and tell them they need to get here. So they went with him. They did what they normally do. They went out there. And this is interesting, our last verse. This is interesting. And he, when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray for me, because I got something going on. Amen. I got a situation. I need you to pray for me. He said, pray that you have a better understanding of what's about to happen. Interesting. He said, pray that you do not enter into temptation. And if you go look at the original language, he's not saying pray that you're not tempted to text that person you have no business. Not that kind of temptation. He's not saying pray that you're not tempted to go finish off that chocolate cake you started Thursday. Oh, man, I put it out there so I can't do it. Sister Chana put her foot in a chocolate cake. And I was ready to polish it off, but. Amen. Did you bring it with you? I'm just asking. She knew better. Amen. He said, pray that you do not enter a season of testing. Watch this right here. He said, we have bigger fish to fry. You need to pray that you don't enter a season of testing because class is over. The teacher has gone home. The teacher's about to go to Calvary. So ain't no time for a testing. One of the things I teach at school is called credit recovery. So students who have been behind in their learning come into this class and they get on this software called Edgenuity. And they try to fast track them so they can pick up the credits they lost. And that's what testing is like for some of us now. Because you were supposed to learn some lessons long time ago. I was supposed to learn some things in the Holy Ghost long time ago. He said, but now you're about to enter a season of testing over stuff that you should have known. And why did he say that? Because they just showed it when they said, I got two swords. He said, you didn't learn what I was trying to teach you. He said, now I need you to pray that you don't have to go and learn that lesson. Not now. We have bigger fish to fry. Some of us, and I say us, because me too, some of us are still being taught the same spiritual lessons over and over and over again. He said, you need to pray that you don't enter that season. Not now. Pray that you don't have, you already know what the lesson is. So what we're asking God to do in this word today, we're asking him, don't let me enter this test. Let me go on this software program, have the teacher go in and click retake, because that's what I do. Instead of them having to take the lesson again, all they do is have to go and take a 10-question quiz to show that they know the material. We're asking God to fast track y'all today, or fast track me, some lesson that I should have learned a long time ago. How to choose good relationships, how to wait on God, how to have patience, how not to gossip about people. I'm asking him to just give you a quick tutorial today. And that when you leave this service today, you will not enter that test. Class is over. Anybody receive that you're not going to take this test again? You know, you already know what he's telling you. You know the material. It's not like you can't pass the test. We don't have time for you to take another test. Why do you have me praying over something that you should be able to take care of in the Holy Ghost? I'm just saying. Why am I going to have you pray for me to be able to control my appetite when I know if I eat 3 pieces of chocolate cake, it's not good for me? And half the time, you don't even ask us to pray. We just watch your life. And so I'm spending 10 minutes, 20 minutes praying over your life, over something I see you getting into that you don't need to get into when you know better. Can you please take the retake because we have bigger? Please, for God's sake, for the church's sake. You think the way you live your life doesn't affect me? Lord, have mercy. He said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Then he comes back and they're asleep. In verse 46, he said, look, I'm going to tell you again. Rise and pray. Lest, that's different, ye enter into temptation. In other words, if you don't take what I'm handing you today, handing you a retake, in the word of God, not because I said it. See, that's what we'd have to understand. This is a living document. Because he's preaching it today. I tell people all the time, when Jesus told the disciples, if you had enough faith, you could say to that mountain, be thou removed. And it would be. A lot of us don't believe that scripture. Why? Because you weren't there. The only reason they would be able to do it is because he spoke it. He wasn't saying to me, Mary, tell that tree to get up and go. He didn't tell me to do that. He said, if you had faith with me telling you right now that that mountain could be moved, Then if you spoke it, it would happen. Why? Because I just told you. Right. Now the word of God just told you that if we pray that you enter not into another test because you know better, because you want to do the things that God has coming. You want to be on the front lines. You don't want to be not a resource, but what's the other thing in the financial world? A liability. Thank you. You don't want to be a liability. So don't take the saints' resources of time and energy and money and anything else when you know what to do. He said it because I said it in my word today. I'm talking to you. He's talking to me. And if you take it today, you will not have to take that test again. You won't enter into that temptation. You won't go into that cycle of testing. That painful, hard, time-consuming, life-altering test that you've taken so many times before. You think you're having fun? Hallelujah. Think we're having fun. I look at the kids in my class sometimes, and they swear they're having fun. But when I get them one-on-one and you start talking to them, they're tired at 15, 16 years old. Tired. So Jesus said, okay. He had made his peace with God. And he was waiting for them to come and get him. He had told the disciples what to do. And you and I know that when they came to get Jesus, at that point, his disciples generally scattered. But he had already told them to serve one another. So the majority of them, even though they were struggling with the intense situation, that fish was too big. So Jesus said, I'll take the brunt of this. What did they do, though? They got together and went fishing. They got together is the important part. They got together and they did what they knew how to do. All God is saying today is let's get together. Pull these resources as the body of Christ and as the Solid Rock Community Baptist Church and as our individual families. Pull your resources. Don't waste resources. Don't take unnecessary tests. He said, because I paid for that. I paid. He said, I've been talking about Calvary, but I'm going to show you Calvary. And they took him. And you know the story. They took him, tried him, beat him. He took and went through the lesson so that you wouldn't have to. Don't you know that when you're being tested, a lot of times it is just like a crucifixion in your spirit? Your emotions are frayed. Your mind is gone when you're being tested and tried. But Jesus said, I've already been tested. I've already been tried. I went to Calvary. I took the beating. I did that. He said, but look at him. He said, I'm including you in this we. You get to take care of one another as I take. Think of him as going before you and clearing out. He goes before you in all your situations and just clears out all the stuff that would harm you and do you any harm. He said, you don't need to do all half the stuff you're trying to do. No, seriously. You know, we think that we have to do A, B, and C to be useful. No, you don't. Sometimes all I need to do is hold you up. That's my job. My job is to hold out the one that's on the front line and help that one. Sometimes that's all I need to do. So Jesus went to Calvary, took care of redemption for us. So when he said I was numbered with the transgressors, they said I was guilty. He said, so I went and paid for your sins and my sins. He paid for all of our sins. He says, I already did that. He said, now I need you to do two things. I need you to love me, and I need you to love people. I need you to love me with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then I need you to love people. Not only the people who aren't saved, you got to get them too. But you also have to love the body of Christ. And you, I'm not talking about the people who are already saved. I declare that all of my family is saved. I'm going to love them and treat them as if they already are. That's why I'm not receiving some of the stuff you say. I'm not receiving some of the stuff you do. Because I have bigger. And you already know better. So they took Jesus down from the cross, and the most glorious news is that he got up. He got up from the grave 3 days later with all power in heaven and earth. And what's so awesome about him, and this is why I love him, and this is why I know God has never let me go. As great and big and grand and awesome as God is, he's the God of the universe. We don't have enough words to describe him. I know he still cares about me. How do I know? Because Jesus showed himself to the disciples, and he said, you know what? I'm gonna be so close to you as Mary Kay shared, a human being who is dust, as I'm going to cook you some fish. He cooked with them. He ate with them, and he's still doing that today. And he says to us, we got to stop the not. Do we understand? And like I said, anytime I say you, I include myself, because a lot of times we're looking at what goes on in the world and we ooh and ah over it. Every day there's a mass shooting. Somebody's flipping out and shooting somebody. Some child is against a parent. Some parent is killing a child. Every single day this stuff is going on, and we've become desensitized to it. And what God is saying is we cannot start looking and counting swords. We can't. There's no time for that. He's saying, I need you to see the big picture. We have bigger fish to fry. There are people who need to be saved. There are saints who need encouragement. There are saints who need help. There are unsaved people who need a witness. There's testimony to be given. So we have all of these things to do. We have a lot to do. And we have to be ready to do it. Bring everything you got. Everything you got to this next fight. Because you're going to need it. Now, what's so glorious is when Jesus returns, he's going to say it again. You don't need to bring a wallet. You don't need to bring a script. I don't need you to bring a sword. He said, because there's going to be one sword, and it's going to be coming out of my mouth. All I need you to do is mount that horse that I'm going to provide to you and come back with me to set up this kingdom. Is anybody happy about Jesus? He said, right now, I need you to cook up this thing. I'm going to need you to do some hard work. He said, but at some point, it's going to turn around again, and I'm going to do it all. And all you're going to do is be there to stand there and witness and bless me and praise me the rest of your days. Come on and stand on your feet. Hallelujah. 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 I'm still praising God over the end. Hallelujah. There's an end. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The biggest thing we need to do always is if there are unsaved people in the house, okay? Amen. unsaved people in the house. If you're not saved, listen, we have bigger fish to fry. We done opened these doors of this church to this church every single Sunday. You already know what I'm going to say. Come on now. We got bigger fish to fry. We don't have time to play with you. These are the things that are going to happen. When you go out to win.